Hi, everybody. This is Marlene. Want to let you know that this podcast version of the show has been edited because there were some portions of it that just don't make sense for those of you who are just listening. However, if you would like to see and hear the entire show, you can go to YouTube and look us up under Miami Ghost Chronicles. And thank you so very much for listening and being part of our audience.
Hi, everybody. It's Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicles, Stories of the Supernatural. And I am here out by Lake Wales, Florida, in an area called St. Anne's Shrine. Okay, now, the story goes supposedly that that shrine over there was built in the 1920s to commemorate some type of miracle, which I'm going to investigate and find out exactly what are the details, because I just kind of came out here under the fly. I just heard this from somebody about this place.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to include the following clip. Which is when I am there at the chapel, or what's left of a grotto chapel, and I start hearing some knocking. And the reason why I decided to include this clip is because it was the last thing I expected to hear. When I was out there, I was just walking around filming, looking at what's left of St. Anne's Shrine, and I start hearing knocking when I'm in the front of the chapel, or where the altar is, for those of you that are just listening. There's just woods behind where I'm at, but there's a very high grotto, which you can't see behind that. Is when I'm there, I'm starting to hear three sets of knocks. And then as soon as I would go back there, it would stop. And it happened several times. And unfortunately, the camera I had was one of these 360 cameras, which the audio is poor. And the truth is, I didn't expect to hear anything like that. But I decided to include it in this podcast version because I think it's really important, besides the history that I go into later on about St. Anne's Shrine. This was something that happened to me real time. And I just wish I'd had more time to explore and maybe capture more evidence. But it is what it is. And something unusual did happen there. Like I said, it was extremely early in the morning. No one was about. This is a small, isolated community of houses. And for some reason, I kept hearing that knocking. And of course, it was only when I would walk towards the front and go where the area of the altar was at.
That's where you could pray. And I hear something knocking back there, guys. I'm not kidding you. I just heard three knocks. And you saw me walk back there. There's nothing back there. There's houses on either side. I just heard a knock back there. Yes. I just heard a knock. Three knocks. I heard. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Hold on. Let's see. It's coming from back here. As you can tell, guys, there's nothing back here. There's way a house way over there. Those grounds extend back there. I don't know where. What? Okay. I'm officially wigging out. Okay. I am officially wigging out. But anyway, getting back to what I originally said. Wow. I'm telling you, you can't tell, but here in the back of my neck, of there it goes. Do you hear it? God, of all the times to have a camera with a bad audio, shoot. Every time I come up here, it does that back here.
Hi, everybody. Well, you saw me there going ahead and just basically doing a visit to a historical site. Basically on the spur of the moment. I usually work my investigations the other way. I go ahead and do my research first and then go in. But I did this one. It was, you know, when you're at the right place at the right time and you either go or you don't go. And once I did get into the research, I realized that there was so much more about this location, about St. Anne's Shrine, or what was called St. Anne de Lax, that I wish I had known beforehand. But I'm going to go ahead and go over all the information and the beautiful and mysterious history of this shrine that was basically erected in the middle of nowhere back in the 1920s. The name St. Anne's Shrine, originally it was always known as St. Anne's de Lax, because it was, that area was settled by French Canadians and from Montreal, and they were going ahead and taking an example, because they're very devout to St. Anne in Canada, especially, I guess, in Quebec, and they wanted to go ahead and have a little piece of that St. Anne and establish it here in Lake Wales. So it was considered a rural shrine, and it was built about 1920. Now, what would happen was, and in truth, I found out, for example, some of these French Canadians, I think they were originally French Canadians, but they had already immigrated to other parts of the United States before they came down to Lake Wales. For example, you'll see in some of the information, Napoleon Pelletier, he had been living in New York for like over 25 years. Another family that came there, they were from Pennsylvania, but I think they all had that the same origins of coming from Canada. And how that happened was they started coming down during the very harsh winter months to this area of Central Florida, now known as Lake Wales. And this shrine is located about 1.5 miles south of State Road 60 in Lake Wales. As you could tell by what's still left there, that it was built of stone, which is much more difficult to use than, let's say, wood. At one point, the shrine included a church, and it had an elaborate set of statuaries. Throughout those wooded areas, there was at least 12 of them for each stations of the cross. You would go through a little path. I couldn't find any, and I'm sure that some of them just are not there anymore. like I said, the original French Canadians that set this up, they were devoted to Saint Anne de Beaupré. And one of the things that St. Anne is known for, she's known as the mother of the Virgin Mary, and she's known for healing the sick. Now, during the 1920s, that this colony came down, what they called them the colony, came down there, one of the gentlemen that was given credit for building, his name was Napoleon Pelletier. Looking back at the history, I don't think maybe he so much did it physically, because I believe he had a little bit of money. I think how he definitely helped was by giving money, because they would leave. This colony of French Canadians would come for the winter, bring a priest with them, and then they would leave, and then they would come back every winter. What happened is, during the 20s, once they established this, they would have pilgrims come to this area. They would have two special dates, one in February, which was tied into the sighting of in Lourdes, and the other one in July, which was the feast day of Saint Anne. And At one point, 50,000 to 75,000 people were coming here in 1 year, which was a lot, quite a lot. But besides that, they would have other, masses and everything, but those were the two major dates. Now, from what I understand, thousands of people crowded this narrow road and the highway just to get in there, having to park like a really far away just to walk towards the shrine. And as you could tell by some of the slides I've presented, what I could find of what this place looked like before it got torn down, the actual chapel was made of wood, and that was raised by the Catholic Church. And as you'll see, I still can't quite comprehend why they did that. It just doesn't make sense. But in a minute, I'll explain why I think they did. Also, by the way, they would also in February also celebrate Mardi Gras, which most people know is Fat Tuesday. This was the big celebration before you went into Lent, you know, in the Catholic religion, and you basically gave up something before Easter. So they also celebrated Mardi Gras there. Now, for example, Napoleon Pelletier, even though there were various people, I'm sure there, he, as you could tell, there's even a slab there commemorating him. And he was born about in 1858 in Quebec, Canada. And he had come over to the United States by 1884 to 1887. That's what I mean. He was already in New York, and in the 1910 census, he was living in Queens, New York. And he was married to his first wife, Helene. By the 1930s, he's somewhere along the line, he got a second wife, and then he died in 1942. And by the 1940 census, he had married his third wife. Her name was Alma. She was about 31 years his junior, and he died when he was 85 years old. Now, like I said, if you look at the 1930 census, they would refer to this area as a Canadian colony north of Hesperides Road. So this was how they identified it, even on the census. Like I said, I think that what Pelletier did most was he defrayed all the expenses having to do with the building of everything there, including that grotto, which basically, from what I understand, is trying to replicate the grotto where Our Lady of Lourdes was seen by Saint Bernadette, which, as you could tell, my knowledge of Catholic saints went out the window even after 12 years, where I identified a statue of Saint Bernadette with that of Saint Anne. Shame on me. No, that was Saint Bernadette. Like I said, you know, masses were held there during the during the time the pilgrims were coming. And this was a really, really big deal. Now, as a matter of fact, in July of 1930, a Catholic bishop traveled to Lake Wales. And not only did they have that church, they had what they call relics of the saints. Okay, they had two relics, I believe, that pertained to St. Anne. They had one of the True Cross. And if anybody understands anything about the Catholic religion, when you have a church that actually has some type of a relics, that's a big deal. And this church had about, I believe, three. Now, one of the other things that I had read about was that supposedly people were cured there. And first it was Mr. Pelletier's son, then it was after going through different sources, what I found was that Napoleon Pelletier's devotion to St. Anne was supposedly when he was very young. He was sick, I don't know if it was tuberculosis, and he had gone to St. Anne de Beaupré in Canada and was cured. That's why he had this devotion to St. Anne. But as far as this location, the truth of what the actual, how can I say, miracle, if you want to call it that, that happened here, was that there was a family that was part of that French colony, and their last name was Marcellier. Now, the Marcelliers had a son. He was 19 years old, and he was a hopeless victim of cancer. And they had come down from Pennsylvania, and this young man had cancer on his face. And he even gave information, because he lived in that area in Winter Haven for a while, that the doctors had given up on him and he was almost dead. And he says that he prayed to St. Anne and that the cancer disappeared. Okay, now what happened was his father was an artist and a sculptor, and he had promised that if his son was cured, that he would dedicate himself to basically sculpting and decorating it. And that's exactly what he did. And he said that they built the Biblical Museum, but that was burned to the ground back in 1939. And unfortunately, it was a question of arson. Okay, because he was saying he was living at that location with his father from 1926 to 1939, and that some fanatics came in and destroyed it. I mean, in other words, there was, I guess there was anti-Catholic sentiment. I don't know what to call it. But anyway, that is, from what I understand and from what I could find, the actual truth of the miracle that happened there at the lake. Because it was like a little bit confusing as to, first it was a boy that had tuberculosis and another one that had cancer. It was, and that's basically what the truth is. Even though there is comments by other people that later on, around the time that they basically, you know, desanctified the grounds and the church, that there would be letters that would be received there from all over the world, and people that had come there saying that they had been cured. And the person that wrote it said that unfortunately he had not kept the letters and he wished he had, but that he could remember seeing that they would come from all over the place. Okay, like I said, now, so in 1930, a Catholic bishop comes there, blesses the repository of the True Cross. They make a monument to St. Christopher, which is that empty gazebo that you see on the lake. There was a statue of St. Christopher there. There was also another fountain dedicated to St. Anne. Some of the pictures there, you could tell what the interior of the chapel looked like. And as a matter of fact, those stairs that lead to nowhere, basically those were the stairs that led right into the interior of the chapel. Now, what happened was that when World War II came around, I guess that really the ones that were doing the, even though people were coming there twice a year, the Canadian pilgrims stopped coming because of the World War II, and it kind of slowed things down. And eventually, in the 1950s, some of the residents were saying that the shrine was becoming too commercialized. And then, supposedly by the 1960s, the Catholic Archdiocese of Orlando said that the shrine was obsolete, and they desanctified the church and tore it down. And then, of course, little by little, everything began to disappear. Some of the statues that were in the church were taken to Holy Spirit Catholic Church in Lake Wales, and the diocese has lost track of the others. Back in the 1980s, there was a priest that attempted to sell the site so they could build a house, and all the neighbors basically rose up and they scuttled the deal. And in other words, whatever you see there, what, you know, the flowers or anything, the upkeep is basically what the people that live there do. This is just whatever is done there. And as you could tell, that there was a lot of stuff, debris. This, like I said, we had Hurricane Maria that basically came through, and it was a lot of high winds. Now, this was the only thing that I can think of is that I think that this shrine was competing with the other church, and in some of the sources it did say that basically it was drawing too many people over there, and I guess that they just couldn't compete. Let's face it, at St. Anne's there was, you know, the hope of a cure, people that were sick. Pilgrims would come there. 50 to 75,000 people a year is a lot of people. And I think somehow or other, the other church thought that they were losing money. I hate to say it, but that's really at the end of the day what it comes down to, money. And probably they were hurting at their parish, and they weren't just making enough with the people that were living around their church, and I have a feeling that that's why. And it's almost like, it's such a beautiful church, I can't understand why the church actually erased it. If you want to desanctify it, because I've seen churches that basically are desanctified, but the structures are still there, and sometimes they're used for other purposes. But they were so thorough in just basically obliterating it that leads me to believe, unfortunately, that at the end of the day, it was all driven by money. Money, money, and money. Because all these parishes, they live by what their parishioners give them. And if you're losing some of your sources, because people were going over there. They were going over there. And I can tell you, it's a very peaceful location. As you could tell, it's almost... I wasn't able to verify if there is any truth to the matter of whether nuns and priests were living in those houses. It's just some information I found. The first marriage there was done in 1926. And what's really interesting is that Napoleon Pelletier was buried there. After his death, he was buried there. And then it was found out not till quite a while, I want to say till like in 1984, it was discovered, or finally somebody fessed up, that the Laughlin Funeral Home said, oh, we moved that body out of there in 1964 because his wife, Napoleon's widow, had requested that upon her death, he should be disinterred and buried next to her in Canada. And that's where he's at right now. But it was done like very secretively. And everybody thought that he was there, and he wasn't. He was gone since 1964. He had been disinterred and reburied next to his wife. And the only reason why they didn't take that slab was that it was just too heavy. And as far as mysteries, the only thing I could find was that story about that lady, Eleanor Barna. She lived there in St. Anne's Shrine along the road. And at some point, they basically would have, like, I think it was like a Catholic elderly residence area. I don't know if they were asking people that, you know, 55 and over. I don't know exactly. But anyway, 1977, this lady, who's 75 years old, is talking to neighbors, and she just walks away from them. She's talking to them. Her husband is there, and she was in her yard with her husband. She's talking to the neighbors, and this was on a Friday, when she just turns away, walks towards her house, and disappears. Later on, they can't find her. They had 250 deputies, Florida National Guardsmen, CB Radio Club members, and a bunch of volunteers searching the community. They even went into the houses, they went into the woods, but they could find no trace of this lady. They even had divers from the county search and rescue unit come out there to go into the lakes, thinking somehow or other that she ended up there. Because, as like I said, since she lived right there, the lake was right across in front of her home, right on the west side. And they couldn't find anything. And she was found a few days later. Her body was found in an orange grove that's right there next to that area. And eventually it was determined that the only information I could find was that she had died of natural means. But that was so unusual, because this lady didn't like act sick or feel ill and collapse. She just turned and walked away, left everybody there. By the time they realized where she wasn't in the house, she was gone for a few days. And then the next thing, they find her body in an orange grove right next to where her house is at. That was very, very unusual. Very unusual. And now I'm going to get to the good part, which is, while I was standing there and I'm going to repeat this, it was about between 6:30 and 7 in the morning. I wasn't kidding when I said that we had just gotten up a little while before, because we had gotten some shut-eye at a rest stop. And then I just remembered on my way back, let me stop in here. I really didn't expect that I was going to find what I found. I thought that the only thing that there was that little monument in the lake. And when I was standing there, I heard three knocks. And like I said, I drove around there. You could tell. There was nobody out. It was 6:30 in the morning. And I heard three knocks. And I said, that's really weird. But I heard it coming from like behind where the grotto is at. To the point that that's why I walked back there. And there's nothing back there. Then I walked to the front and I heard it again. And I was really upset because I know that the audio on this camera is really poor. But in truth, I didn't expect that I was going to hear something that it would have been great to record. Something that there was just no way for me to, if I would have known, believe me, I would have had the best microphone. And that happened to me. I want to say that I heard those three separate knocks, sets of threes, like maybe what, four times? Even though I might not have come across that way, I was flabbergasted because I really couldn't account from where those noises were coming from. I don't know. Even now, I can't explain it. Overall, this is a very beautiful place, and it's a shame that basically it's been left to decay, because I imagine that the people that live around there can only do so much. And I just don't understand that after being so popular and receiving such recognition and everything, that it was just almost within 30 years, the church just decided to make believe it didn't exist, which is a true shame. So if you guys are ever in the area of Central Florida and Lake Wales, I urge you to take a visit there. It's beautiful. It's very serene. There's quite a mysterious charm about it, just because, and even more so when you realize how many pieces, how many buildings, how many walkways just do not exist anymore. And I imagine that those families, like all others, they just moved away. And that was the end of that. So again, guys, I hope you liked this video. Please subscribe to my channel. Hit the like button. Catch me on Facebook and on Twitter. And thank you so very, very much for viewing this. And Happy New Year 2018. Take care.